You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, we continue in Philippians chapter 2, the New Testament book of Philippians. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. And we would certainly be remiss if we didn't talk about the major spiritual, cultural, political happenings of the last week and 24 hours. And so let's talk about that a little bit, Bert. And I'll be on record saying that I praise God. I think the prayers of many people were answered. And I think that the well wishes from countries around the world, beginning with Israel, I think it was very significant that the first major world leader to congratulate Donald Trump on his presidential victory was Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, our ally in the Middle East. And, you know, I think we've got a lot to praise God about, Bert. What were your impressions?
I am praising the Lord Jesus Christ, and I thank God that he's given us an opportunity to I think, continue doing the things we should do, not continue the things that we should not. And I think we need to redeem the times. That's exactly what Paul told the church at Ephesus. You've got this opportunity, make the most of it. And I think we need to do that. We were in danger of a lot of things. Matter of fact, let me just take this time out. I think it'd be a good time to do it. We're coming up on the week that we are just sending out shoeboxes all over the world, Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse. I hope you're doing that, getting that ready, and you can go to Samaritan's Purse and find out about Operation Christmas Child there and find out how to box, fill a box of things that they recommend and send to children with the gospel all over the world. And that's Samaritan's Purse that we could do that. But with that in mind, my wife and I, Jan, she was going through different things this morning and looking at what people had to say on Facebook in different places. And she came across the one by Franklin Graham. And I really want to share that. He was saying he did thank God that Trump, President Trump, won the race. And he said, yeah, it's a win. And I want to just share this with our people, because I think it is, this program wants to be a program of praise in the book of Philippians. Now, how you like all those P's, you know, program of praise concerning Philippians. But he said this, Franklin Graham said, it's a win for the family, for the economy, for the unborn children, for freedom of speech, religious liberty, law and order, American manufacturing, coal miners, farmers, oil and gas industry, national security, against bureaucracy and government regulations. And then finally, it's a win for freedom-loving people everywhere, not just here in America, but around the world. And I think you sharing that about the Prime Minister of Israel congratulating President Trump talks about that piece. And I noticed the the world leaders that sent congratulations to him very quickly were usually those countries that were wanting peace, Alex, not those that are warlike and aggressive, but those that are wanting more peace. And I thank God for that. And I think we need to have a program of praise, but also a prayer time. So I know I've taken more time than I usually do here, but Alex, I really do think we've prayed about it. And a lot of times at prayer meetings, what you do, we'll pray about Aunt Sally getting well. We'll pray about Uncle Luke getting better. And then when they do, we forget to thank God.
Amen.
So I would love for you, if you don't mind, starting this program out today in a prayer of thanksgiving for the opportunity that I really believe that God has given to us to make most of the mission that God's called us to do as followers of Christ.
Amen. Amen. I do want to pray. So let's unite our hearts together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, what joy we have, what joy is on our hearts as we praise you for allowing this country to reelect Donald Trump. And Lord, the other side that represented many viewpoints contrary to your word. Franklin Graham is right. That life, freedom, industry, just the liberties that our Constitution promises, those things were truly at risk. And Lord, I do believe in electing Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and so many, many conservatives, the Senate, the House, populated. And we know many of these people that we know are followers of you, Jesus, not only constitutionalists, not only patriots who believe in our representative Judeo-Christian system of government. Many of them are believers themselves. So our heart rejoices. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, I pray this would just be the spark of a great revival, that a secularist, socialist, Marxist, woke worldview was stopped. It was. And so, Lord, help us to redeem the time. Lord, I pray for myself and for everyone listening, Lord, that in the next 4 years and as long as we're alive, Lord, that we would be every day prayerful, that we would be committed to our families, that we would be committed to grow as Christians and citizens. Lord, that we would read your word and learn truth, that we would, no matter what our age, we would be committed to be stewards of life. Lord, that everybody listening, that we would get committed to our churches and that we would understand the joy of serving. And Lord, that to our children and youth and those coming up, that we would role model godly citizenship, and that we would pass on a biblical worldview. Lord, let this be a reprieve. We truly were in jeopardy. And Lord, I think you have given us a stay of judgment. Yeah. And so let us just zealously, enthusiastically, joyfully, gratefully, every day appreciate that we are Christians and we are American citizens. Bless Donald Trump and his family, keep them safe. Let him govern righteously and productively. Lord, we pray for the salvation of all involved. We have no ill will against anybody. But Lord, we do pray, like Habakkuk, for that time that the knowledge of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Yes.
So, Jesus, thank you. We believe you've intervened, and we ask you to please continue undertaking for the benefit of this nation, and we will do our best to live and proclaim the gospel for you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray, Lord. Gratefully for it all, we pray. Amen.
Amen, Alex. Thank you so much. And we are praising the Lord, and we're going to play two different songs today as the bumper music. The one that's been our theme for over a week now is Keep On Praying. But we've got a kind of, I think, a special one at the second bumper music. So I'm building anticipation to see what it is. Brent has taken time to put it in, because we just don't do things. We try to do things prayerfully and rightly to encourage our followers that that listen to this program, and followers of Christ and those that are searching for answers, that they would follow Christ. So I'm just putting that out to anticipation. But Alex, let's look at Philippians chapter 2 in this time we have remaining in the first segment. Again, Paul introduces, let's go over this, his theme. I think it has two themes. Now, you may disagree. Now, I know it's a thank you letter. That's the over cover of it all, that they participate and help him in his ministry. But the first one is rejoicing, and the other one is having the mind of Christ. Now, in a way, those are the same thing. When you have the mind of Christ, Alex, is there going to be a certain amount, and I'm using this word purposely, okay? Is there going to be joy in knowing Jesus Christ and having his mind?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I've heard it said that, you know, the mind of Christ and a biblically informed worldview is to see things from God's perspective. And, you know, Bert, when circumstances come along that are good, you're grateful. When things are hard, you're prayerful. But I don't know. I think that the longer we live and the more deeply we are ingrained in the Bible and the Bible in us, I think it helps us more consistently look at the circumstances of life from a scriptural vantage point. You know, we're seeing life through God's perspective.
I agree fully. And so, in another thing that Paul does all through the book of Philippians, like he does in most of his books, he shares information about individuals. And one of these is found in verse 25 with someone who has a long, interesting name. And I'll start reading this, and it says in verse 25, chapter 2, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother." Now listen to this. "My brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all, and he was distressed because you had heard that he was sick." Now, I just love this. Right in the middle of this letter of him sharing truths, some doctrine, some instruction in all of that he does, he takes time to talk about Epaphroditus, who he gives him three titles that Paul says he was part of his life: my brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier. Alex, those are three very high compliments, aren't they?
Exactly. You know, I was thinking about that. Wouldn't you love for that to be said of you?
Amen. That's what I was thinking. Yes.
Yeah. Brother, companion, fellow soldier. Hey, those would be three pretty good labels to earn, wouldn't it? And you know, compliments like that, those are earned, aren't they?
They really are. And he had been with him, and he had heard they were sick. And he was their messenger. He was the guy that took, you remember, what he had brought was an offering. And Paul would say it was a sweet-smelling aroma. It was well needed. I needed it at this time. I'm in prison, and he appreciated it. And he was the one who brought it. And we find out he risked his life to get it there. We don't know exactly why or how, but he did. And he ministered to my need. Alex, we need to see the need of others. And one of the highest callings, I just want to tell you, is servanthood. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Is in God's kingdom, Alex, is there any higher position than a servant?
No. And that's Mark 10:44. Jesus said, "The one who would be greatest among you would be the servant of all."
There it is.
Isn't that something? And, you know, we've talked about how in Philippians there's really good theology, deep Christology, but there's this personal touch. "For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness," in other words, literally distressed, "because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrowed upon sorrow." In other words, he was sick, could have died, we all would have been heartbroken, but God had mercy. No doubt that mercy was manifested through prayer. and Amen. Intercession. And God still answers prayers, doesn't he, Bert?
He really does. And speaking of mercy, I think that's what we received in the election, God's mercy and not God's judgment. And yes. We're praising God that we would use it to God's glory and his honor. We'll be back right after this break.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding, and Preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies. So be generous. You'll never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Don't stop.
Amen. Now's not the time to stop praying. Continue praying. There are a lot of things going on, and we're to be thankful in our prayers and just keep on petitioning God for wisdom. But I referred to Operation Christmas Child earlier. Let me give you the details and make sure we know that. The collection week is through November the 25th. It really starts on November the 18th through the 25th. The shoe boxes, and you can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, and you can find all the details you need. If you've got a shoe box and you don't know exactly what to put in it, they will help you. They will give you suggestions. And when you pack that shoe box, and there's a little money there, so it will take care of the shipping that box all over the world, Alex. Over 100 unreached people groups get these shoe boxes, and it's connected with a church and missionaries so they can give it and the gospel is shared. What an opportunity this is, churches all over America. What a time to join with them and be a part of Operation Christmas Child. And again, that collection week, November the 18th through the 25th, go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more and where to drop it off. So, Alex, we're still excited about the Great Commission, and I don't know of any better, opportunity that they have than Operation Christmas Child to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You know, as we get toward Christmas, just about every year we'll have somebody on, and, you know, usually some of the adult staff of OCC now, Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse, very often these were kids that, you know, when they were 7 or 8 years old, they got a shoebox, they accepted Christ, they've grown, now they're full-time servants in mission work, and it really does so much good. My goodness, we think the shoebox, it goes around the world, and we love Franklin Graham and all that they're doing, and so be a part of that. Bert, I love it when churches, and I'm on the road a lot, there'll be churches that may be small churches of, you know, under 100 people, and yet they'll do several hundred
yes.
shoeboxes. And don't we live in a great time where there's so many creative avenues by which the gospel of Jesus can go to the ends of the earth? I mean, even right now, I know we have many, many, many listeners outside of the United States, all literally around the world. You know, we've known of people listening in the Middle East and places where often missionaries can't go. So this is a great time. And one last thing before we resume Philippians, Bert, I think the gospel going forth as it is, whether it be online, digital, radio, or shoeboxes, I think it's because Christ is coming soon. And the Bible says this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a witness unto all the nations.
Amen.
And then the end will come.
Hallelujah. Alex, both of those are exciting. The gospel going to every nation and then Christ coming. That verse is compounded with promises and blessing, isn't it?
Well, it is. I got to tell you this. Okay, one of the unique things, and this does tie into Philippians, you know, right before the break we were talking about, you know, the prayer and the intercession, and Paul says this, that, you know, Epaphroditus was sick unto death, and verse 28, I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. In other words, hey, rejoice, he got well. We prayed, he didn't die. I was not consumed with sorrow. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. In other words, hold him in high regard. He's a godly worker in the gospel, the recipient of a miracle of healing, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Bert, if I'm reading verse 30 correctly, I mean, because of the work of Christ who was near to death, he had just about worked himself to death for the cause of the gospel. Now, I don't know if he was beaten or somehow the elements, maybe he got sick, but God healed him, gave him more life for more work unto the gospel, and Paul says, hey, receive him joyfully. Let me just say this, folks. I mentioned Jesus used the term this gospel of the kingdom. One of the unique things about the Christian worldview is the idea of the kingdom of God. Now, there are plenty of religions that say, you know, do good, avoid the bad. Maybe your good deeds will outweigh your bad deeds. Christianity is different. Amen. Christianity says, no, we don't have any good deeds. We're sinners. But Christ would pay for our sin, rise from the dead, put your faith in Jesus. You know that. The empty tomb is part of what's unique about the gospel. But Bert, I read over the weekend, I just took a notion to study on this, 163 times the Bible talks about that if you're a believer, we are part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, which is coming. And literally, the kingdom of Christ and the king himself Amen. Will rule and reign on this planet. Now, in the Gospels, some like 60, I forget, like 61 or two times, Jesus uses the phrase, the kingdom of God is like this, or the kingdom of God will come in power. And then there's also the term, the kingdom of heaven, which is in the four Gospels 20 times, and then 90 sometimes in the Old Testament, there's references to the kingdom of God. And, you know, that's unique. It's not just a set of do's and don'ts. No, there is a coming kingdom and a king, and you can become part of this kingdom by putting your faith in Christ. Absolutely unique. And, Bert, I'll say this, I'll throw it to you. The gospel message, the good news, it's unique because it's true. I mean, this is reality, and that's why we hope you know the king.
Amen. Listen, the kingdom is all about the king. That king is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It's none other than Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you to know him and his fullness is the greatest thing that could ever happen, to know him. And we're going to talk about this in a minute, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. In other words, know him in his completeness of who he is. And that's available to those that would say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. There's nothing that I have to offer to you, nothing that I can do to make myself worthy. You died on the cross and rose again, and I want you to forgive me of my sin, and I want you to come into my life and save me. I'm yours now and forever. I turn away from my sin, and I turn to you. Alex, what a treat that was for me when I did that as a 12-year-old boy. I didn't know everything I was getting. I got more than I could even ask or think in this relationship that now, let me just tell you, it has been 60 years that I've been following Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, it's the greatest decision, greatest deal that ever happened to me in following Christ. Now, we were talking about verse 30. It says, not regarding his own life. The word is risking his life. I think the danger was there. I believe he was working, but the way the Greek language is used here, it sounds like the possibility of risking his life and going through difficulties to get there and complete his mission. Now, I want to talk about that just a second. Here's Epaphroditus. Regardless of the danger, regardless of the difficulty, regardless of his health, he was going to complete his mission. I want to just tell you, therefore, the rejoicing and the gladness was done. There's rejoicing in heaven when we complete our mission and we hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So yes. Alex, Epaphroditus is an example, I think, for every believer for us to complete the mission God has for us here upon earth. And I put him in the category of a hero, brother.
Amen. Amen. You know, Bert, did you ever read, and this is a very old book, but it's a classic, Fox's Book of Martyrs?
Oh, yes. Yes. Wow.
And let me say this, folks. If your church has a church library, I'll bet there's some older books in there that are missionary biographies. And they are quite inspiring. And there are many people that have, we are, as I used to hear it say, we are standing on the shoulders of giants. You know, we have been preceded by many faithful folk that gave and sacrificed. And, you know, they entered into glory with the cheers of the saints. I believe that. And the voice of Jesus who says, well done, good and faithful servant. And I don't know, Bert, whenever I read missionary biographies or the saints that they served even unto death, I don't know, it motivates me. Doesn't it you?
It really does, yeah.
And so you want to do that. Folks, plan now for that future date when you'll enter the presence of Jesus, unashamed, 1 John 2:28. And you did what you could with what you had. You were a good steward. You let go of things that are unproductive. Maybe even right now the Holy Spirit is motivating you to do a little inventory. And you think about in your heart and in your life, let's be honest, we all have things that we don't need to be doing that. That's not helping us grow in the Lord. That's not helping us serve and bear fruit for the gospel. And Bert, I think Paul used a lot of sports analogies. Even Paul used an analogy of boxing. Paul used the comparison of running a race. And if you were in a cross-country marathon, you wouldn't carry a couple of cinder blocks with you. Any dead weight, you'd drop and let that go so you could fly on down the trail. And I don't know, Bert. I think that doing kind of a regular audit of our heart is good for us, because let's remember what our purpose is: to run the race, to bear fruit for Jesus, and to meet him unashamed one day.
Amen, Alex. And you were talking about that Fox's Book of Martyrs. Let me tell you the beginning of it, and you find that in Hebrews 11, verse 35. And it's talking about faith, and the writer of Hebrews said, concerning faith, we understand the worlds were framed, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. And he talked about all this roll call of heroes that had deliverance and had great, great opportunity. But he ends it with this in verse 35. It says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown in two, were tempted, were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Now, Alex, listen, you want to complete the task. And sometimes for those of us that we're standing on the shoulders of them, some of them, we have victory after victory, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were delivered. Daniel was delivered from the lion's den. Praise the Lord. But others were sown in two. They were tortured. But guess what? At the end of their life, after they had done, regardless of how they ended their life in death or there in life, in old age, however it did, there it was, the victory of completing the task. And so when I read about Epaphroditus and him completing that task, it just brings on a lot of victory in people's lives, but the desire for victory in our lives for us to finish well.
Amen. Amen. You know, a week ago I was down there in Texas with my dear friend G.J. Walton at First Baptist of Silverton, and we were talking about Amsterdam 2000, and maybe we'll begin to get into Philippians 3 tomorrow. By the way, folks, I want to give the number, because if you want to call in with a Bible question, we've got a brief break, but the number, if you want to call and get in the queue, dial up now with your Bible question, or maybe you want to praise God, you know, as we rejoice over the election results. But the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Brother G.J. Walton and I were talking about Amsterdam 2000. This was 20 years ago when the Billy Graham Ministry convened a big evangelism conference down there. Well, we were in the Netherlands, and we were there for 2 weeks. And Bert, there were so many people from 125 nations that they were just, it was very convicting. And listen to this, talking about persecution. I was on a train platform with a group of men from India, and the Hindus can be very violent sometimes. And there was a man that was supposed to come, and he was overtaken by a group of militant Hindus, and they beheaded him. And they, the widow and the family, they didn't have the head. It was very demoralizing, but they buried his body, no head. They cut his head off for the witness of Christ. And they said, we weren't going to come. And then we said, we decided to come, came all the way from India to Amsterdam, because they said, we wanted to learn evangelism from the Billy Graham people, but we came to honor our fallen brother who gave his life for the sake of the gospel. Bert, this is serious. It's real, isn't it?
It really is. I praise God that we're living in a country right now where I think religious freedom is extended to us in mercy and grace. We need to make the most of it and finish the mission God's given us. That number, 888-589-8840.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/Target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/Target. afa.net/Target.
This is Walker Wildman with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
I know our hearts and prayers are with those affected by the Israeli conflict in the Middle East. Here's a great need right now. Nora is a born-again believer. She's a widowed mother of four. Her husband was killed by a terrorist cell, and one day radicals showed up and burned her house down, nearly killing Nora and her four daughters, the youngest of which, 4 years of age, maimed for life with very serious burns. Now, her crime is, number one, she's a born-again believer. Number two, she was found to be educating her daughter daughters beyond the age of 8. In that system, that is a serious violation. But I can tell you, rather than grow bitter, Nora has introduced about 50 Arabic-speaking women to Christ. They need Bibles in the Middle East. In fact, by the end of November, we want to bless 4,000 Bible-less believers. And in this season of Thanksgiving, I know you're grateful for your Bible. So at $5 a Bible, $50 sends 10, will you call 800-YES-WORD? 800-YES-WORD. That's 800-YES-WORD. Or give it sendbiblesnow.org. Sendbiblesnow.org.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Maybe with Christmas coming, among your traditions, maybe you get to hear Messiah by George Friedrich Handel. You know, Bert, I got to tell you, we did the Hallelujah chorus when I was in Glee Club way back in high school, and they would always invite, if you were an alumnus of Southeast High School and had ever sung in the choir, come on up on stage. And sometimes there'd be 125 students on stage. And I remember, you know, I wasn't even a believer yet. And I thought, this is the greatest piece of music ever composed. Somehow or another, some of the sheet music from heaven drifted down here to earth, because that, the Hallelujah chorus, is just a, it's beyond anything else I've ever heard musically. It's a great piece, isn't it?
It really is. And we did that just praising God, Hallelujah. And we do get ready for Christmas as well, but I thank God for His mercy and grace. I'm reminded of what Bill Stafford, he was just a great evangelist, loved him. He preached at the church where I pastored about 3 or 4 times, and every time I heard him anywhere, I'd go, and he'd say, when will we ever learn that anything above hell is grace?
Amen.
And listen, what we deserve is beyond judgment. But in His mercy and grace, He saves us. And then I believe He gave us these 4 years to for us to really not keep on doing church like we've always done it. No, man, we need to let God give us a vision, direction. And I really believe the next generation, those kids, those children, those young people, churches, let me just challenge you, let's do everything we can to make sure they hear the truth of God's word. So anyway, I know I'm on my soapbox today, but Hallelujah, Alex. Are you ready to go to calls?
I sure am. And you know, one thing I'm praying for, I'll tell you this quickly. There are some mega churches in America. There's some large churches. But you know, the vast majority of churches are less than 135, 40 people. H.B. London, Bert, did you ever know?
I got to talk to him and meet him one time. A great man.
Yeah, he was. Dr. Dobson's cousin, the VP of Focus on the Family. I worked with H.B. for years, traveled with him. And he had such a heart for the smaller churches. And let me just encourage you, if you're part of a smaller church, as 80% of America's churches are, take it seriously, pray, work to get people under the sound of the gospel. And I won't belabor the point right now, but I'm working on a plan, Bert. I think there is a plan to revitalize the smaller churches and energize them to do evangelism. Amen. And discipleship.
Let's do it together. Alex,
we must.
Man, we got to. God's given us this opportunity. Father, help us to do that. Yes. Give Alex wisdom and vision and words. He is such a great communicator, not only in words, but with the pen. And Father, I pray that you would guide him and us do that. We're praying for those, all the churches, but especially, as Alex said, those smaller churches. And Father, that they need to know how important they are.
Amen.
It's like small businesses in America, Father. Yeah, you got the big ones, but those small ones are the heartbeat of business. And I believe that for the churches as well. Give them a heart to go after you and to let you guide them in reaching others for Christ. In Jesus' name, Amen. Alex, we could just pray all the time, but you ready to go to the phone calls?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Abby from Texas. Abby, thank you for calling. Abby, are you there?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
I am.
Yeah. Thank you for calling today.
Well, thank you. My question was, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, do we know how long they were there before they sinned?
Okay. Alex, we've had that question before. We can say for sure it's unsure, but
yeah.
Have we made an estimate or anything that you know of that gives kind of an educated guess?
Well, nobody really knows. I will tell you it comes, sadly, very quickly in the text, doesn't it? I mean, when you get from Genesis 2 to Genesis 3, one of my mentors in graduate school, Dr. Harold Wilmington, great guy, I highly recommend the very famous Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. Dr. Wilmington felt like it wasn't very long at all. You know, Genesis 2 concludes that a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. They were naked and not ashamed. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any. I mean, Bert, sadly, maybe it was part of Adam and Eve's weakness. Maybe it was part of Satan's proactivity. I think the fall into sin came fairly quickly. Do you?
I believe it was quick, but let me give you one thing that I've noticed. It was long enough for them to expect God to come walking in the garden to have fellowship with them. You remember that, you know?
Yes. And
so it was long enough for them to have a habit. Now, I'm just saying this, okay?
Genesis 3:8, by the way.
And what happens, they say, if you want to develop a good habit, do it for 30 days. Now, again, that's just me speculating. So, weeks, possibly a month, that's just a possibility. But you know what I mean? It was at least they knew that was the habit of what was taking place, and so that was the case. So, go ahead.
And like you say, and this is worth unpacking a little bit, in the King James it says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the word there literally means the spirit of the day. Like you said, they had a habit. They knew, okay, here's the time that the Lord comes walking by. So it had to have been enough in that there was a little bit of a pattern, right?
That's right. So
And so that's a great observation. Was it 2, 3, 4 days, a week, a month? I don't know. But one day when Christ comes back, it'll be Eden restored, won't it?
Hallelujah. It's going to be great. Thank you, Abby. Great question. Debbie from Arkansas. Debbie, thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead, Debbie. Be sure and turn your radio off, Debbie, or walk away as far as you can from it.
Still on. I called to say that yesterday God gave me his unsurpassable peace, and I gave him all the glory. You know, I gave God the glory, and I knew God was going to do what was right for this country, either way it went. I fell into a nice, peaceful sleep. I slept all night long. I've been listening to y'all for about 3 weeks, faithfully. I've learned a lot. I thank y'all for it, and God bless your station and keep people supporting it. But this morning when I found out, I was giving God the glory because his will was done.
Amen. 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 Debbie, thank you. 3 weeks. We're glad you are listening, and we want you to keep on. Alex and I will do one thing. We're going to share the word of God. And listen, it's up to each individual to take it and to Holy Spirit drive it home. But Alex and I have a passion to share the word of God with people so they can be saved. And then those that are saved can grow in Christ. Debbie, thank you for that. And I've got one thing to say, Alex, and you might want to say something. We can trust him no matter what, can't we?
Amen. Amen. God is faithful. But Debbie, thank you for listening.
Amen. And,
where should we go next?
Let's go to Iowa and talk to David. David, thank you for calling.
Hey, Bert and Alex, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, amen.
I'm just so thankful and grateful that the prayers of the saints have prevailed. And I know it's a lot of people that's bitter and angry, but I think we was at a prefaces of light and darkness, and God had people fasting and praying, and we were on our face. And I think that he knew that, man, if we didn't go right on this one, it would set our nation back for years to try to overcome. And so I just thank God for the saints that was praying. I was a prayer groups. We were praying and fasting, and I'm just glad that God moved. And I felt yesterday morning, I was listening to JJ, and I felt the prayers that he was praying. Man, and I tell you what, our nation is in a better place, and I just thank God for the people that stood up, the saints that came out, and as Moses said, when you come off the mountain, who's on the Lord's side?
Amen. Mm. Preach it, David. Amen. Alex, amen. I love that earnestness, and I do believe we don't. That's the reason I wanted to play the song, Keep On Praying, as when we opened. We talked about, do we need to really, we've used it a week, and I told Brent, man, let's leave it on there. We don't need to stop praying. We've got transition taking place. We've got so much to take place, and we need to keep our knees to the floor praying and asking God to guide our steps and help us. And the church, listen, it's our responsibility. If my people, and Alex, we're his people, we better pray, mm-hmm. hadn't we?
We should pray. And David, it's a blessing to hear from you, and everything you say, I give you a hearty amen.
Amen. Well, let's go to Alabama and talk to Jimmy. Jimmy, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Yeah, y'all make my day, guys.
Thank you.
Glory to God.
Listen, you guys make our day by calling in. If we reserved the last segment and nobody called in, it would not be good. So, Jimmy, thank you for calling. You've made our day, brother. Go ahead.
Anyway, I just want to tell y'all about a miracle. That I'm going to be emotional now, guys.
Amen.
That I had cancer. I had prostate cancer. Mm. And they had to put a port in. And they gave me my first treatment. And I had an allergic reaction to some medicine. So they kept me in the hospital 4 days. And then they... when I got out of the hospital, I went and seen my oncologist, and he took the blood. And they had been checking my PSA, and it went from 10.6, 9.22 to zero. So my wife went and called a urologist just to get a second opinion, and it come back zero, guys.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
It's a miracle work.
Amen, Jim. Listen, brother, we want to pray for you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God has done praise that God. For purpose. Yes. Want to, and we don't want to waste God's purposes. So let me give a prayer of thanks, Jimmy. Father, I just thank you for Jimmy. I thank you for this miracle. God, you are a miracle working God, and you still touch people's lives. You can do it by just touching them. You can use therapy. You can use surgery. You can use medication. Father, but you're the one. You're the Jesus is the great physician. And I thank you for this that you've done in Jimmy's life. And I know his wife is praising you for this. And I pray that you'd use this testimony to give people hope, but also that you'd use Jimmy and the time he has remaining, just like all of us, to make much of Jesus and let his work be done and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Alex, isn't it awesome to hear these? Aren't we privileged to hear these testimonies?
Blessings on you, brother, because I say it so much, life is a gift, and a good report like that. Jimmy, we rejoice with you, brother.
We really do. So everybody out there, we usually ask you to pray for Jimmy, and we are asking you to do that, but also praise God that he had done that. And so, Jimmy, we rejoice in heaven for you. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Carrie. Carrie, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. First thing I want to say is I love you two men. Y'all brought me back to God, and I'm making it my point now to try to get as many people to follow Jesus as I can.
Amen.
If I ever get a chance, I'd love to shake y'all's hands or give y'all a big hug.
Hey, Kerry, what part of Mississippi you live, brother?
Aberdeen.
Hey, man, we're just up the road in Tupelo, and you can meet the less half all the time. I'm here, and Alex may
yes,
not
sir.
Be here, but come on up, brother. We'd love to visit
I
with
will.
You.
Do and that. I would love to.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, Kerry.
It sort of goes with the lady's question earlier about Genesis and creation. You know, Satan or Lucifer was cast to earth, and then God created man, put him in the Garden of Eden. And it kind of hit me that maybe Lucifer went before God like he did with Job and said, hey, you created this and said it's perfect. Let me tempt him. And then Lucifer went in the garden and tempted him. Of course, you know how that went. But
we do.
I just wonder if y'all's opinion on that. I mean, I kind of see maybe the same, in my mind, maybe the same thing going on there that happened with Job.
Okay, Kerry, don't have a lot of time. Alex, go first on this one.
Well, you know, next summer I'm going to be teaching the book of Job, July 18th through 20. I'll be at the Cove. Now, you can't sign up right now because the Cove is totally given over to relief. Police and workers are at the Cove. But anyway, they say they're going to open up the website January the 1st if you want to come and hear me teach through Job. But you might recall in Job chapter 1 that in verse 6, the angels and Satan was the accuser appeared before God. Now, did that same thing happen with Adam and Eve? I don't know. But here's what happened, though. Satan could not kill off God, so he tried to harm the ones made in God's image.
That's exactly right. And guess what, Alex? He's still doing that. That's yes. the reason our identity in creation and our identity in Christ is so important. We're either created man or woman, and then we're redeemed as a child of God. Alex, man, what a Savior. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's been a good day, folks, and it's a great season for our nation right now. Hope you join us in praising God, giving thanks to God, and let's all be committed to live for Him. Stay tuned to the American Family Radio Network. If you would, tell somebody about exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.